Now, this is a pretty famous chapter. Flip back, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19, but this is, of course, the famous chapter where Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha is there to see it. And Elisha was the follower or protege of Elijah for many, many years before this time. And it says in 1 Kings 19:19, and of course this is where Elijah first meets Elisha and calls him, but he says in verse 19 of chapter 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Now, before I get into the subject of the message, just to point out a couple quick things about these verses we just read. Number one, God is always looking for people who are working, who are busy. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who's working hard. He's plowing with a yoke, with 12 yoke of oxen, and he with the 12. I mean, he's literally pulling the yoke with the oxen. I mean, he's a hard-working man right away. Same thing as when Jesus found men who were fishing and working and doing different things. So he's looking for a man who's a hard worker, number one, to call into the ministry, to call to be a preacher. But the next thing I want you to see is that when he went to follow Elijah, do you notice how he burned his bridges behind him? He took all of his tools, all of the equipment that he used to do his work, and he basically just lit them all on fire. Did you notice that in verse 21? He used them to kindle the fire. He said, well, I don't need this stuff anymore. Threw it all in, lit it on fire, cooked the meat for his family, said goodbye, you know, had a little goodbye party, and then took off. But what I want to preach on tonight, I preached a sermon a while back that was called Be a Leader. I preached it a while back, and it's on the website. But today I want to preach a sermon called Be a Follower. Okay? Because just as important as being a leader is being a follower. In fact, every great leader in the Bible was first a great follower. I'm going to show you some examples. If you look at Elisha, this is, of course, a great example. He said, I will follow thee. He followed Elijah. But look at the last verse. It says, then he arose and went after Elijah at the end of verse 21 and ministered unto him. Look at 2 Kings chapter 3, just a few pages to the right in your Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 3. This is after Elijah has gone up to heaven in the whirlwind. In 2 Kings 3:11, it says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, watch this, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. You see, he started out as a servant. He started out as a minister, and he started out as a great follower. In chapter 2, where we started reading, you flip over there, we saw that everywhere Elijah went, Elisha wanted to follow him. I mean, he wanted to be right, even when he told him, hey, you can stay here. You don't have to come along. I've got to go all the way over here. He said, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to follow you, and so forth. Look at the key part of chapter 2. It says right here in verse 9, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Notice, not the Holy Spirit. He said, a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Let me tell you something. Elijah was a great man of God. He was a powerful, powerful man of God. And it was a hard thing to ask to say, I want a double portion of your spirit. I mean, we're talking about a man who performed, I believe, 7 miracles that are listed. He prophesied all kinds of great prophecies. But if you sit down and count up, and I've done this before in another sermon, I don't want to take the time right now, but I have counted up that Elisha literally did twice as many miracles as Elijah. And he made twice as many prophecies. I counted it up in a different sermon and proved that from the Bible. We looked at each prophecy and each miracle. I mean, here is a great man, Elisha, who doubled the works of Elijah that we see in God's Word here. Why? Because he started out being a great follower. Look, if you would, at Joshua, the second example. Exodus chapter 24. Look at Exodus chapter 24. And there's a lot in the Bible about Joshua. So we're just going to look at a few example verses here. We're not going to go too much into this. But Joshua is another great example of a powerful, powerful leader. And a man who started out by being a great follower. Look at Exodus 24:13. It says, "And Moses rose up, and his minister, Joshua." Notice the wording there. A minister is a servant. "And Moses went up into the mount of God." Look at chapter 33, verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Turn over to Numbers 27:18. While you're turning there, I'll read for you 11:28. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses forbid them." Numbers 27:18. Here's the key verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." Look at Deuteronomy 34:9. Deuteronomy 34:9, the next book in the Bible. You can see that Joshua, and I'm not even showing every verse just because I don't want to be too redundant here. But the Bible's clear that Joshua was Moses' servant, Moses' servant, Moses' minister, Moses' servant. And notice the Spirit was there. You know, same thing. Like when Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's Spirit. It says in Deuteronomy 34:9, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom." Why? Because, he said, "For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Now, why was the Spirit of wisdom, why was Joshua filled with the Spirit of wisdom, according to verse 9 here? Why? Because Moses had laid his hands on him. I mean, isn't that what it says? We didn't get there on Wednesday night, so I can clean up what I didn't do on Wednesday night in 1 Timothy chapter 4 when we were just going through it. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." You remember this from 1 Timothy 4? "Which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." Did you hear that? The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, being a great leader, being a great man of God, was transferred from one man to another. With Timothy, it was the case. He received it from the presbytery, which is just the elders of the church. Other great men, other great leaders in the church that were senior to Timothy laid their hands on him, and that's where he got the power to be the great leader that he needed to be. Same thing with Joshua. Moses laid his hands upon him. He was a great follower before he was a great leader. You see that? He followed a great man of God, and he became a great man of God. David, another perfect example. We could just look at one quick example. Look at 1 Samuel 18. I mean, do I even need to go into David? The man who was the faithful, faithful servant of Saul. Even when Saul had turned on him, even when Saul was trying to kill him, he would not lift up his hand against him. He would not badmouth him. I mean, he was just straight down the line as a great follower. Therefore, he became a great leader. Look at 1 Samuel 18:25. Here's an example of what kind of follower David was. It says in verse 25, "And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." So Saul is trying to do dirty by David here. But look how great of a follower David is, even with a leader that isn't the greatest leader in the world. But he was a man who was filled with the Spirit. At a time, there was a time when Saul was filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says more about Saul than any other man in the Bible, that he was filled with the Spirit. But then you remember how the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And then it basically an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. But look at verse 26. "And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines." How many? 200 men. "And David brought their foreskins, and they gave him in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife." He's a great follower. I mean, oh, you want 100? Let me give you 200. You know, I mean, this is a great follower. It's kind of a graphic story, I understand. But anyway, you know, he's a great follower. Here's a man who followed Saul and was one of his most faithful servants, Jonathan came to David, or came to Saul in 1 Samuel 19:4, and Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. People were saying, look, Saul, David has been a great follower. David has been your faithful servant. That's why he made a great leader, because he's been a great servant. Now let's go into the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 toward the end of the New Testament. While you're going there, let me read you some scriptures from Proverbs 15. It says in Proverbs 15:10, you're turning to 2 Thessalonians 3. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And listen to this, and before honor is humility. Before Elisha had people literally just thronging to him and saying, you're our leader, in chapter 2. You remember that? All the 50 prophets, they ran to him and they made obeisance to him and said, you are our leader. Before that, he had the menial task of just pouring water on the hands of Elijah. Before Joshua had the whole host of Israel following him, he was just a servant, a young man, a minister that followed Moses. Before David was the great king of Israel, he was the man who was treated poorly even by his leader, but yet followed the leader. And before honor comes humility. There's never been a great leader who wasn't first a great follower. Because let me explain something to you. Poor followers make poor leaders. It's a fact. A poor follower is always going to be a poor leader. See, I don't want to follow anybody. How are you going to follow Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'll follow Jesus Christ. You know what? If you follow Jesus Christ, then you'll be able to follow a man of God if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, look, let's get out of the spiritual realm. We're going to come back to 2 Thessalonians 3. But let me tell you something. You need to learn to be a great follower in every area of your life. Children need to learn to follow their parents. Because let me tell you something, and let me speak to the girls. Teenage girls, young girls. If you won't obey in the home, if you can't obey mom and dad, if you can't follow the leader you have right now, how are you going to follow your husband someday? Think about that. Because it's the same character trait of someone who will not follow. Someone who has a problem with authority in one area, someone who has a problem with authority with their parents, is never going to be able to follow good authority at work or follow good authority in their home life. For girls that grow up and get married, they're not going to follow their husband if they won't follow mom and dad. And every parent is first a child. And the obedient child will make a great parent. This is a biblical principle. Because you start out being a great follower, and if you can't obey mom and dad, you will not be the parent that you need to be. Now, we've all been on the job and run into people who just have a problem with authority, haven't we, at work? Have you ever known people at work like that who just have a problem with authority? Oh, yeah. They cannot stand reproof. They cannot stand being corrected. They cannot stand being told that they're wrong. This is a character trait that will cause you to fail in life and never be a great leader. Now you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you're this guy who's just this renegade. You don't follow anybody. You blaze your own trail. You know what? It's not true. It's not true. Let me tell you something. I am not a natural born leader. Anyone who knows me well knows that I am not a natural leader. I'm not. I'm just being perfectly honest with you. I am a natural born follower. Now, I've become what I need to be because I know that God wants me to pastor and to start a church and to do what I'm doing. I know I'm doing the right thing and I know God wants me doing what I'm doing. But let me tell you something. I've had to work hard to become a leader because I was more of a natural follower. But you know what? I think that's why God's using me as a leader, because I am a follower. Because I always tried to follow my God-given authorities in my life. When I was a child in my parents' home, there were times when I was rebellious and so forth. But you know, and I always, when I turned 18, I always just wanted to move out right when I turned 18. Isn't that what a lot of kids think today? They're counting down. I mean, you know, 1 year and 3 months till I'm, you know, they're counting down. They want to get out of that house. And I was the same way. I was counting down. I mean, I'm just telling the truth. But you know, there came a time when I was 17, I got in a good independent fundamental Baptist church, and when I got right with God, it's amazing how I got right with my parents when I got right with God. Because I had friction with my parents, but when I got right with God, I got right with my parents. Because if you're a child living in the home and you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. Because that is the God-given authority set up over you in your life. I mean, stop and think about it. Where does anyone in this whole world derive any authority? Only from God. Only from God. God is the one who gives parents authority over their children. He gives it to them in the Word of God. God is the one who gives the husband authority over the wife. God is the one who gives the boss at work authority over the servant, over the employee. God is the one who gives human government the authority over us in the United States of America. Now, of course, our government is totally overstepping the authority that God spelled out in the Bible, what that authority should be. But they would have no power at all. They would have no authority at all, except that God had given them that authority, and that God had given them that power. And when you were a child, when you were living in your parents' house, and you were their child, you are under their authority. Even Jesus Christ. Would anyone argue that there's a better leader than Jesus Christ? I mean, we're talking about the greatest leader of all time went home at 12 years old and was subject unto his parents. In Luke chapter 2, it says that he went home and he was subject unto them. Subject unto them. Everybody know what sub means? He put himself under their authority. The greatest leader of all time was a great follower. Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, followed and obeyed his parents. And if you're a child in the home and you're not right with mom and dad, you aren't right with God. And it's amazing how when I turned 17 and got in a fire-breathing fundamental Baptist church and started going soul winning and winning souls to Christ, I got right with my parents. And I began to have a great relationship with my parents. And when I turned 18, I did not move out of the house. I stayed living at home with my parents. And I stayed living at home with my parents until I got married. Because the Bible says, and I read this verse and was convicted by it, it said, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And I said, well, that's the plan I want to follow for my life right there. You know, and other people are in different situations through circumstance and through events. But you know what? In a perfect world, that's God's plan. In a perfect world. In a perfect world, that's the program right there. You know, and other people have gotten in different positions just because of different events in life and so forth. But you know what? That's what I teach my children. And you young people that are young and you're in the home right now with mom and dad, let these words sink down into your ears. Pastor Anderson is telling you the truth tonight, that you shouldn't be counting down until you're 18. Just count down until you get married. That's the countdown, because that's when you're to move out and to do your own thing. That's what I believe. I don't agree with you. Well, you go believe what you want to believe then. Okay, I'm just telling you what I believe from the Bible, that that's God's plan. And let me tell you something. I got along with my parents and obeyed my parents and followed them while I was in that home until I got married. Then they were no longer an authority figure, but I still respect and have honor and love for that. But I'm telling you, I obeyed them and got along with them. The church that I went to at the time, I can go back in my mind to that time. I went to Regency Baptist Church. I was never a troublemaker in that church. I followed the pastor. I followed him on soul winning. I followed him all these great things. Now look, you know, was he perfect? You know, if he said something that was unscriptural, was I just going to blindly follow him? No, but he was preaching God's word faithfully. He was winning souls to Christ, and so I followed him. And I didn't come in and try to change everything and tell. No, I followed. And anybody who knows me during that time, knows that I followed. Anyone who knew me from the time that I was in the pew, not behind the pulpit, knows that I strove to be the best follower I could possibly be. I wanted to be a great follower. And I love being a follower. Part of the reason why I started church is just because there's such a void in this country of solid Bible-believing, soul-winning church. I just felt like somebody's got to stand in the gap. Somebody's got to do this. But you know, it's more blessed in many cases just to be a follower than a leader. And if you'll be a great follower, God can use you one day to be a great leader. Because God knows that we need some great leaders in this country. We are starving for great leaders in this country. We look across this country, and how many Christians are like sheep without a shepherd? We can't find the leaders that we need. But I wonder if it's because people aren't being the followers that they need to be. That God can't call them to be the leader that they need to be. I mean, we see it all through the Bible. Every great leader was a great follower. But let's get some New Testament scriptures on this. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, by the way, before I forget this. What is the problem with a bad follower? Let's think about this. What's the problem with a bad follower? What do you think? If you can think of one word, that is exactly right. Pride. Who's the person who can't stand being corrected? The proud person, right? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to follow anybody. Now, hold on a second. Can you see how pride could be a really, really bad trait in a leader? Think about that. Remember what Brother Stoppelbein was preaching on the camping trip? About being a great leader is about being a great servant, about being a minister. It's about doing for others, not what people can do for you. What is the pastor called? How many times? A minister, a servant, okay? And so if I'm going to be a great leader, if I'm going to be a great pastor, I have to be humble. And the opposite of being humble is prideful. And the prideful person is the bad follower. And a prideful leader is a very bad leader. Because the prideful leader is basically just in it for himself. He's not there to serve. He's there to be served. The prideful leader can't be corrected when he needs to be corrected. The prideful leader can't follow Jesus Christ. And therefore, he'll probably lead people astray if he's not following Christ. Pride is not an attribute of a great leader. Humility and being a servant is a great attribute. You know, referring to the sermon that we heard on the camping trip by myself. The same thing. Jesus Christ was not filled with pride. The Bible says that he who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here's a man who's equal to God. I mean, he's Jesus Christ and God in the flesh. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus Christ was a humble man, even though he's God in the flesh. I mean, if anybody didn't need to be humble, you'd think, well, it's Jesus. He doesn't need to be humble. He's God. But yet, when he was robed in human flesh, when he was on this earth, he humbled himself before his parents. He even humbled himself before his followers. He humbled himself before his disciples. When he got on his knees and washed their feet, that's a pretty demeaning job to wash somebody's feet. But he was humble, wasn't he? The bad follower is filled with pride. He's going to be a bad leader because he's going to be a prideful, arrogant leader. He's not going to do what's best for the follower. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. This is Paul speaking. He said, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." So in verse 7 he said, you ought to follow us at the beginning there. In verse 9 he said, to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible reads in verse 16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." This is Paul speaking, saying, hey, follow me. Look, if you would, at chapter 11, verse 1. That was chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." Look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You see, everyone's a follower. Even the leader's a follower. Because no matter how high on the totem pole you are at your job, there's one that's higher than you, and that's God. No matter how high you are in human government, let me tell you something. The leaders of this world are accountable to God and will be judged by God. Whether it be the President of the United States or these other people all over the world who call themselves kings and rulers and leaders, dictators, whatever, they're accountable to God. They can't just do, they may think they can do whatever they want and get away with it, but they won't. They have an authority, and that's God. Everyone has an authority. You say, "Well, you know, you're the pastor of the church, so you're just an absolute ruler." No, I'm following Christ. I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm following the Bible. I mean, I don't have any more authority than you do. I mean, I'm following the Bible. I'm just following someone different, maybe. But I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm following the Bible. I'm following God's Word. And I'm saying to you, follow me as I follow Christ. Now look, if someone's not following Christ, and they're a spiritual leader, don't follow them. Follow someone who's following Christ. Now on your job, it doesn't matter whether your boss is following Christ or not. He's still your boss. It doesn't matter whether your parents are following Christ or not. They are the boss. Being a great follower is following mom, following dad, following the boss. When you're in church, the pastor has certain authority. Now, my authority does not extend into your home. Okay? Who's the head of the home, according to the Bible? Dad, the man, the husband. So it's not right for me to come and tell your wife what to do or come and tell your children what to do. My authority is in the church. Basically, I have authority in this church to lead this church. You lead your home. I don't want to lead your home. You lead your home. Other men lead businesses. Women are leaders in the home as they lead the children. The pastor leads in the church. Other men in the church can sometimes rise to a point where they're leading, like the deacons, okay? But the point is that every leader is a follower, and no great leader was not a great follower. All through the Bible, all through the Scripture. Look, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'll read you another verse. Philippians 3:12, Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 17, he said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample." 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Now this church, first they followed Paul. But then in verse 7, they became an example to others. See, they started out following in verse 5 and 6, and then by verse 7, now they're leading. You see that? Look, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians 2:14. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6 says this, "That you be not slothful." Slothful means lazy. "But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Do you see that? Find people who through faith and patience inherit the promises and follow them. Hebrews chapter 13. Same book, just flip over to chapter 13. Verse 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And we can go on and on. I have pages and pages of verses here about following Jesus. I mean, where Jesus is constantly saying to people everywhere he goes, "Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Follow Jesus, just follow me. And my favorite of all, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Want to be a great soul winner? Follow someone who's a great soul winner. Want to learn how to win souls and get many people saved? Get it, be a silent partner and get with somebody who wins souls and follow that person and learn how to win souls to Jesus Christ by being a follower. And then when you learn to win souls to Jesus Christ by being the follower, then one day you'll be a leader. And then you'll have a silent partner with you. And you'll teach them how to win souls to Christ. But before you're going to be a leader, you got to be a follower. You got to learn to follow. You see, when Pastor Anderson was a young man reading the Bible, going through the scriptures, you know, I didn't grow as fast as a lot of you grow. I didn't. I grew in my Christianity at a much slower rate than many of you in this room. I mean, I could point out many people in this room, some of whom got saved at our church, others of whom maybe got saved somewhere else, but they hadn't really been taught anything or even baptized or discipled, whatever the case may be. But I could name even just people who got saved here at our church. They got saved and baptized here. And they are doing great things for God, winning souls. I mean, they grew way faster than I grew in my Christian life. You know why? Because they're following a leader. That's why. But see, without a leader to follow, and this is what's wrong with America today. I'm serious. I mean, this is the problem. Without a leader to follow, it's a lot harder to grow in the Lord. It's a lot harder to move forward in your Christian life. And so there were times in my life when I had good leaders. And when I had those great leaders, my growth was accelerated when I had great leaders. But there were other times in my life where I didn't grow hardly at all. And yet I was reading the Bible and trying to do what was right. But it is so much easier when you've got a great leader, when you've got somebody to get behind, when you've got somebody who's doing right. And you say, oh, my leader's not perfect. Look, nobody's perfect. Was Paul perfect? I could show you some things that Paul did that were pretty dumb. Remember what he did when he went in the book of Acts and shaved his head and went and did that whole Jew thing? That wasn't right. That was what he preached against. You know, but I'd say overall, Paul was a great leader, wouldn't you? I mean, I could show you mistakes that Moses made. I could show you mistakes that Elijah made. I mean, Elijah got depressed and down and wanted to die. You know, I mean, he had some times that he went through where he wasn't doing too hot either. I mean, you look at every great leader in the Bible, and guess what? They're a human being. Saul definitely wasn't a great leader, but let me tell you something. Saul was filled with the Spirit, and people got behind him, and they learned and became great leaders. Even though he failed later on in life, he started out a really great leader. He started out a really great guy. And those who followed him became great leaders themselves. Let me tell you something. If you can get in a great church with a pastor who's serving God, I'm not saying he's perfect, but if he's winning souls to Christ, if he's preaching God's word, you are going to grow a lot faster than when you're just trying to be the leader yourself before you have followed sufficiently. You see, if I would have started leading when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I wouldn't have been the leader that I was when I started after I had a little bit more time to follow other people. You know, right before I started this church, I was going to a church where the pastor was not a great leader. Okay? And I'm not talking about the church that I was sent out of Sacramento. I'm talking about before that. I was going to a church where the pastor was not a great leader. But let me tell you something. There was a guy in that church. There was a man in that church who I was following as my leader in that church. Wasn't even the pastor. But there was a man in that church that was a great soul winner, that was a great preacher, that was doing great things for God, and I got under this guy's wing. And I mean, I'm talking a very short time before I started the church here. And I humbled myself before him and got under his leadership. Let him show me the ropes out of soul winning. I've been soul winning for years and years. But I let him teach me more. I let him show me many things out of the Bible. And let me tell you something. That guy dramatically helped me to grow in the Lord spiritually in a powerful way. Just a layman in the church, but he was a great soul winner, great preacher. He knew the Bible very well. He taught many of the things that I preach. He taught me. A lot of methods that I use out of soul winning, I learned from him. You know, he was a leader in my life. He was somebody that I followed. I didn't just say, well, I don't need this guy, you know. No, I said, you know what? I'm looking at this guy, and I see things in him. I see the Spirit of God here. I see the power of God in this guy's life. I said, I want to follow this guy and get what I can from him. And it takes humility to do that. You know, it takes humility to follow somebody. Because pride says it's all about me. It's all me, me, me. But you know what? It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's not about anybody. It's about Jesus. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be moving forward at the fastest rate when you can look and realize, hey, wait a minute, here's somebody who's beyond me spiritually. You know, here's somebody who's winning souls. Here's somebody who knows the Bible. Here's somebody who's a great leader. I want to follow that leader, and one day I can have a double portion of their spirit. One day, if I'll follow that leader, I will have the double portion. I can do great things for God that exceed. And I hope that my children will follow Dad. I hope my children who are listening to me preach right now will grow up and follow me. And I hope that they will do twice as much for God as I've done in my life. I hope they do double what I do. I hope they win twice as many people to Christ. I hope they lead twice as many people to become a soul winner and great. Hey, I hope that they do double, and I hope that you will have the sense to say, you know, I'm 15, I don't know everything. You know, I've been saved for 6 months, or I've been saved for a year, I don't know everything. I've read the Bible through cover to cover, you know, once. I don't know everything. You know, you got to realize there are people that have read through the Bible many, many more times than that, that have read through the Bible scores of times. There are people who've won, you know, thousands of people to the Lord, or several hundred people to the Lord. There are people who are beyond you, and you need to just get behind them and follow them and learn from them. Don't get to the point where you can't learn. You've always got to be learning. I'm willing to follow anybody who has something to teach me. Even at this day, July 25th, 2010, I will follow anyone who has something to teach me. Seriously. I would love it. I'm looking for a leader. You know, and I've got Jesus Christ as a leader. But you know, if there's somebody else that can lead me somewhere, that can teach me something, I would love to sit down and learn something. I like to listen to preaching. You know, I don't listen to as much preaching as you do, because I'm usually the one doing the preaching. But you know how many thousands and thousands of hours of preaching I listened to before I ever became a pastor? And even now, I love every chance I get on a weeknight to go somewhere and get some preaching and learn something. And sit down and be fed and be led. You know, we just went and heard a sermon. You know, I was fed by that. I enjoy that. I learned something from that. You know, and I hang on every word when I listen to preaching, because I'm trying to learn something. You know, my best friend, Brother Jimenez, his family is here. You know, and he's starting a church on September 5th. That's somebody who I taught a lot of things to, you know, back in the day. You know, that's someone that I knew when he was a teenager and taught him all kinds of things. Now he's a great leader. Now he's leading the way. He's ready to lead. But you know what's interesting? You know, and he followed me for a while. And I taught him a lot of things back when we were teens. We were in the same church, and I was young married, and he was a teen. But you know what? I would love to learn from him. I love it when he preaches. I want to follow him. You know, he's going to start a church on September 5th. I don't know everything. I'd like to see some of the things that he does over the next few years and see if I can learn something, because we all need to learn to be a great follower. And my natural tendency is to follow. I want to follow somebody who's a man of God. I want to follow somebody who knows the Bible and who knows God. And hey, maybe that's why I'm a leader. And maybe that's why you'll never be a leader. You know, think about that for a little while. Maybe that's why I'm up here as a pastor and leading, because I loved to follow. And to this day, I still love to follow, and I long to follow. Maybe that's why I'm a leader. Stop and think about this. This is a profound truth. And it's not just something that's mentioned a few times in the Bible, because as I prepared this sermon, it was just, what am I going to leave out? You know what I mean? It's just like all these verses. Just follow, 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 follower, 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 follower. And today, you're criticized. Oh, you're a follower. And let me tell you something. Being a follower can sometimes be a bad thing if you're following the wrong leader. Don't ever be a blind follower. Don't ever be a blind follower. You see, who was the great church? Somebody help me out. Who was the great church that we looked at several scriptures who was a great following church? And who Paul kept telling to follow? What verses were we just looking at over and over? Two books that we kept going to. Thessalonians, right? 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. That was a great following church. But you know what? They were told, you need to search the scripture daily. Because in the book of Acts, when they first started out, when Paul first started that church, it wasn't that great of a church. In fact, Paul criticized them, saying, you know what? You need to get in the Bible. You need to say it. But by the time he wrote 1 Thessalonians, he's just lavishing praise on them as being the greatest church around. Before he criticized, he said, well, this other church in Berea was better. But then he said, no. By the time he wrote 1 Thessalonians, he said, this is the greatest church in Macedonia. He said, every other, Berea's following them, he said. All the churches around Thessalonia are following them. You see, you don't want to ever be a blind follower. You know, you've got to search the scriptures daily to see whether you're being taught and led the right way. You don't want to just go to school and follow the crowd. You know, you don't want to ever follow a crowd. You want to follow the one. You want to follow the minority. You don't follow the crowd, a throng of people. You follow Moses. You don't just follow the... there were a lot of sons of the prophets who were preaching a lot of messages. Elisha wasn't following those 50 guys. He didn't just fit in with the 50 guys. No, he followed Elijah. You know, Timothy followed Paul. You know, these people followed a leader that was a godly right. I'm not saying be a blind follower. I'm not saying to just be a conformist and to just go with the flow and to be like everybody else. But what I'm saying is, if you want to grow slowly, then don't follow. Just do your own thing. And you know, if you're not a follower, you'll eventually figure out how to win souls. And you'll eventually figure out how to live for God. And you'll eventually figure out how to raise your children and have your wife. You know, just from reading the Bible. Just on your own, without following any man. And if you never go to church, you'll eventually learn things and figure things out. But you know, don't you want to just follow somebody and grow to your full potential and grow at maximum speed and be able to humble yourself and say, you know what, I don't know everything, therefore I will go to church. We were knocking on doors. Who was I with? Somebody help me out if you were with me on this day. I think it was you, Brother Matt. We were knocking on doors and this guy just told us that he said, well, I already know more than pretty much every pastor. So he said, that's why I don't go to church. Remember that guy? Was that you? He said, I know more than pretty much any pastor. So he said, why would I go to church? There's a guy who's really going places for God. I mean, just as you hear that story, does that sound to you like a spiritual giant? Why? What bothers you about that story? Pride. And he thinks he knows everything. And it turned out, from talking to the guy for 30 seconds, it was pretty clear, Matt, wasn't it? The guy didn't know nothing. He knew nothing. But he pretty much knows more than any pastor. No, and then he starts telling us all this dumb doctrine, and then we like tore apart his doctrine in about 10 seconds. You know, I mean, it's pretty easy. And they go, oh, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. And then it's like, all right, see you later, buddy. You know, but where's he at? Is he here tonight? I don't see him anywhere in the auditorium. Because you can't teach somebody something who already knows everything. I always say that whenever I'm out soloing. Oh, that guy already knows everything. We can't teach him anything. Let's go to the next door. Think about that now. How many people do we run into with that prideful, arrogant attitude, I don't need church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need to be led. I don't need to follow. I can just do it myself. Let me tell you something. God gave you a pastor. God gave you teachers. And God gave you other godly examples in this church. There are people in this church who are godly examples. You ought to be following them. You ought to get out soul winning with them and be their silent partner. You ought to gravitate toward people who are a great soul winner and get with them and learn how to do it. Learn the ropes. And humble yourself and be a follower. And look, why be a follower? You say, but no, Pastor Harrison, you don't say, I'm a natural born leader. You know what? Is there really any such thing as a natural born leader? I don't know, because I don't think anybody was born to lead. You know, when you're 6 months old, I don't think you're leading anybody. You know, I think it's just great followers that eventually become leaders. Moses was a great leader, wasn't he? Did you know he was the meekest man on the face of the whole earth, the Bible says? I mean, God, who knows everything, looked down and said that the meekest person in the entire face of the earth was Moses. And he said, that's who I'm going to put in charge. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. It'll lift you up. He said you'll be exalted in due time. You'll be lifted up to a position of authority. I wonder if God is going to give you a wife. You know, if you can't be the follower that you need to be. Because he looks down and says, well, this is going to be a poor leader. How can I give this guy a wife to lead when he can't follow his leadership? When he's a poor follower, why would I give him a wife so he could be a poor leader? Why would I give him children so that he can lead them wrong? Because he's not the right leader. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, but if God looks down and sees a great follower, that's probably who he's going to want a more blessed with a wife. Because he says, well, there's a meek person. There's a humble person. They're going to be a great leader. They're going to be a great parent. The child who's obedient. I wonder if they'll get married sooner and have children sooner when God looks down and sees an obedient follower and says, I'm going to bless them with somebody to follow them. I wonder if God is looking for pastors tonight. I know he is. I know he's looking for the pastors of the next generation. I wonder if he's looking for the biggest loudmouth blowhard or whether he's looking for the best follower. Think about that. Is he looking for the big blabbermouth, blowhard, know-it-all? Or is he looking for... Because look, anybody who knows me, back when I was the follower, before I passed to the church, knows that I was not the loudmouth blowhard. I wasn't. I was not a person that went around throwing my weight around, blowing my mouth off. I was somebody who liked to learn. And I still like to learn. And let me tell you something. God's looking today for husbands and fathers and pastors and men to run a business, to whatever. He's looking for the one who's a great follower. He's looking for the man who's plowing with the oxen, with the, right there with the 12th ox. He's there pulling, working. Because he's not above that. The hard worker. The man who is not beneath him to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Examine your heart today. You know, we heard great sermons on the camping trip. Apply them to your heart. Apply this truth to your heart. And understand that none of us has attained. None of us has apprehended. We all need to grow. I need to grow. You need to grow. I'm going to follow my leaders. You know, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to look for other people that can lead me in certain areas where they excel me in those areas. I want them to lead me in that area. And you need to follow the leaders that God has given you in your life. And children, take this message to heart. Your parents are your leaders. Follow them. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us to let this sink in, dear God. It's so easy sometimes to think that we've arrived, to think that we know it all, to think that we don't need anybody to guide us or direct us or to help us or to rebuke us, to correct us, to straighten us out. But God, none of us is to that point where we can't be rebuked. God, help us all to learn the meaning of being a follower. I don't know if I can even preach this, Lord. I've done what I've tried to do tonight with this. It's just got to be something in people's heart that makes them be a follower. And Father, I just pray that you would help us all and give us all the grace to be the followers that we need to be so that we can someday be the leaders that we need to be. And in Jesus' name we pray.